views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
This is Debbie Pokornik, host of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, a podcast focused on helping you remember who you really are, to awaken to what you already know and trust that you are absolutely perfect for the role of being you. My goal is to help you realign with your vibrant, powerful self so that you can fully enjoy the life you have come here to live. Today, I'm going to talk about pleasure, and specifically some of the ways you might bring more of it into your life. I've already mentioned a few times why pleasure is so important, but in case you missed it, our feminine energy is fed through pleasure. So if you want to be a vibrant and powerful being, you absolutely must have a good amount of pleasure in your life. It recharges your batteries. It helps you burn off stress. And it makes life so much more fun. I find it quite disheartening that so many of us, and myself included not too long ago, are so disconnected from pleasure. What I mean is, we don't necessarily know what truly brings us pleasure. I mean, most of us could recite a quick list if asked, you know, something like, well, my kids bring me pleasure most of the time. Getting outside brings me pleasure. Watching my show, you know, I'm really into The Voice right now. That brings me pleasure. Now, while I don't doubt that you love your kids, they don't always bring you pleasure. In fact, they're part of the stress-causing piece of the equation, and in many cases, add to why you need more of this in your life. In other words, that list isn't really well thought out, and it isn't going to help you recharge your batteries on a regular basis. So let's talk about the fact that we need more of this pleasure in our lives. It's interesting that many, many people believe pleasure is something that should only be indulged in once all the work is done. Think about what you do just for the pleasure of it. How often do you do it? Where does it fit in on your priority list? Is it way up there like, oh, I need to get me some pleasure? Or is it way down at the bottom like, well, all right, I just have to do the dishes and give the kids a bath and get them into bed. And then if I still have any energy and any time at all, then maybe I will have a bath myself. Or maybe I'll sit down and read a book or something else that you would really enjoy. And I have to say that maybe is with a capital M. Now think about how you feel when an opportunity to do something for pleasure comes up. Like perhaps, like so many others, you focus in on the price. How much is it going to cost? Then you look at your bank account for how much extra cash you happen to have, huh? And allow that to make your decision as to whether or not you participate. When you do that, what often comes up is, I can't afford it. Or, if you can afford it, you might think about the time commitment. Ooh, can I really squeeze this in? Perhaps you run it by your significant other and use their reaction to determine whether or not you should pursue the idea further. Many people, women especially, feel guilty when seriously considering doing something simply for the pleasure of it. And they think that they have to have a really good excuse in order to justify taking the time, spending the money, or lining up the childcare to make it happen. I can actually remember a really busy time in my life when a friend of mine was sick for a few days, and she had to spend that time in bed. I actually felt a little stab of envy and momentarily wished I could be sick so I could just rest and focus on healing guilt-free. How messed up is that? Since then, I've shared this, what felt like a really shameful secret, in conversation with other women, and I have been amazed at the number that admitted to something similar. Sometimes it was thinking about being in an accident or getting a diagnosis that would make them have to be home. Others even commented on a divorce, not because they were unhappy with their partner, but because they wouldn't have to explain to anyone else why they needed that time to rest. Now, none of us are actually wishing for a life-threatening diagnosis or to be in an accident or to have our husband get up and leave us, but we're all inwardly screaming for a chance to recharge our batteries. Now, I have a group of friends who I totally love and really admire for how they make a point of reaching for pleasure. They've traveled to concerts together and to art shows. They have this yearly glamping experience, which I've participated in and absolutely love. It's true camping. You know, we have no toilets, no running water, no electricity. We have to bring absolutely everything in with us, and it's a heck of a lot of work. But we have really awesome beds, incredible food, and there's this beautiful feminine energy that I can't even begin to describe that surrounds us because we're out in nature, it's a group of women, and we don't have any other responsibilities except for looking after ourselves. My point is that these women appear to have no guilt around making time for themselves, and they really seem to understand the importance of pleasure in their lives. And you know, you can see that in their demeanor, in their eyes, and in how good this feels for them and how much this helps them to be the people that they are. So if you don't want to end up with something untoward happening to you and you're feeling this kind of bone-deep weariness, it is absolutely imperative you take charge and insist on bringing more pleasure into your life on a regular basis. Now, unfortunately, because we've been thoroughly trained in the masculine model that I talked about last week in my podcast, many of us have really deeply internalized the message that we must work hard to succeed. Notice these sayings: the early bird gets the worm. Only the tough survive. Work hard, play later. I've also heard it said, work hard, play hard. Money doesn't grow on trees, so you better get planting. Work through the burn. A mother's work is never done. You can sleep when you're dead. Every one of these comments suggests that you must put your energy into action, making things happen, getting things done, if you want to get anywhere in life. There is no room in there for being. The underlying message is that there's no time for pleasure and that you are lazy and not worthy of success if you indulge in such things. Now, thankfully, enough people have burnt out, become ill, lost significant others, and so on, that our society has stopped to scratch its head and wonder. As a result, more and more people are catching on that we are doing something terribly wrong here. There has to be more to life than this, and they are beginning to search for what that is. This has opened the door to pleasure. Maybe just a crack, but that's enough to bring some light into the room. Now, here's an interesting little gender difference. According to Alison Armstrong, who is a woman that has made it her business to study men for many years now, and as a result has become an expert in women as well, She says that men tend to be more connected to what brings them pleasure. So they know what is pleasurable for them. They aren't typically shy about fitting it into their life. In other words, when they do it guilt-free. And the recharge they receive from doing these things, whether it be hunting, going to a hockey game with a buddy, or golfing, seems to last with them quite a bit longer than it does for women. For example, she says if a man loves riding his motorcycle and gets to go on a lovely Sunday drive, it might create a feeling of satisfaction or completeness for him that lasts several days. Women, on the other hand, tend to have a harder time identifying what fills them up. They struggle with fitting it into their lives without the guilt, and they only feel full for a couple of hours. Now, I fully recognize this is going to be different for many men and women, but if you could allow me this generalization, it really is worth looking at. In my book, Standing in Your Power, I share some ideas for filling yourself up, which is another way of saying things that bring you pleasure, and I would like to share those with you here. You know something fills you up if you enjoy doing it, you feel stronger after doing it, you feel good about yourself as a person for doing it, and or you feel a sense of happiness or contentment deep within when you do it. So here's some examples of things that might fill you up. Connection to others. This is spending quality time with your partner, with your kids, with your lover, with your family, friends, even volunteering. In fact, there's been a lot of studies that have shown that doing things for other people in a healthy way, in a way that is of service to them, can fill you up very quickly. It's important that you feel allowed to be your true self with all of these people. So don't do it with a sort of fakeness. Don't do it because you feel that you have to do it. Or don't pretend that you're enjoying yourself with these people, because that's really not going to fill you up. You need to be able to be yourself, be authentic, be real. Another thing that might fill you up is movement and exercise. Well, we've talked about that quite a bit. Movement is extremely important for all of us, especially for women. And I think the especially for women comes in there because we just have so much going on. It's so easy to get to work, to sit down at our desk and then sit there and try to get things done. But when you feel stuck, when you feel unfulfilled, it's possible that movement is what you need. So dancing, swinging, yoga, running, aerobics, sex, biking, massages, swimming, these are all things that might bring you pleasure. Music is another thing. Singing, drumming, listening to music, playing an instrument, humming, all of these things can help to fill you up. Touch or energy work, like massages, foot rubs, pranic healing, Reiki. Don't worry if you don't know what some of those are. What matters is that you recognize that there is a lot of different things that involve working with the energy on your body that can be very helpful and feel really beautiful. Currently, I'm doing some energy healing work with a man named Emmanuel Dagger, and it's virtual. I mean, he's doing the work from somewhere else in the world. I'm not even sure where he is, but I suspect he's in the States. And I can feel it. It feels beautiful. I feel so good when I'm done working with him. And it's all done via a recording and a virtual experience. Quieting the mind is another great way to fill yourself up. So this might be having a relaxing bath, meditating, daydreaming. You know, daydreaming has been put in a category of time wasting, which of course fits right in with this conversation about pleasure. But daydreaming is actually where we access our desires. This is where we plant the seed and start that thought of what we want to transpire, to come up in the world, what we want to create. It builds desire within us. It feeds our soul in many ways, and it truly is a valuable practice. So if you like to daydream, I suggest, especially if you've taken it out of your life, that you figure out a way to bring it back in, because there's a lot of beautiful power in it. Tai Chi, Qi Gong, again, yoga, these can all be things that help you quiet the mind. But here's something to think about. A lot of people are going to yoga now because they read Eat, Pray, Love, and they think, wow, I should be doing yoga, or maybe it's for some other reason. And they go with a goal in mind, which means that they're really going at it from a very masculine perspective of, I want to become more flexible. I want to be able to touch my head to the floor when I sit on the floor. Well, this isn't really what yoga is about. Yoga is about breathing and connecting and talking with the body. It's about feeling your muscles and stretching your muscles in a way that feels pleasurable to them and helps them to release the things that they need to release. So it's really not about a goal as much as it is about quieting your mind and reconnecting with your body. So you want to keep that in mind with some of the things that you're trying. You might be coming at them from a perspective that isn't truly feeding those pleasure sensors that you want to feed. Belly laughs. Oh, belly laughs are a wonderful way to fill yourself up. These might be belly laughs with a friend, a child, while you're watching a show. It really doesn't matter. But a good belly laugh, you know, the kind that make you cry and you can't quite catch your breath and you can't quite stop and you've got tears flowing down your face. Oh, incredibly therapeutic. And it really gets the oxytocin flowing and can make you feel like $1 million. That is pleasure. Artistic expression. Writing, drawing, painting, sculpting, pottery, crafting, baking, cooking. These are all ways that we can really tune in to that creative side and have lots of fun with it. But unfortunately, a lot of people have internalized the idea that if you're not going to make money doing that, then maybe it's not for you. Now, of course, if they enjoy cooking, they can get away with the excuse that they've got to make meals for their family. But even that, sometimes the pleasure comes out of it because they just don't have the time. They don't have the time to go shopping and get the special ingredients. They don't have the time to cook up this incredible meal that they are dreaming about. So where you can make this into a pleasurable experience, allow it to really fill you up in more ways than just the obvious. Another thing you can do is release chi. Now, chi is energy, and we're not going to get into it in any detail now, but understand that when you clean out a closet, when you organize a drawer, when you give things away, give away clothing, or take it to recycling, you are actually freeing up chi energy. And you can feel that when you walk into a room and you've just cleaned out a cupboard. You can feel the change in the energy in the room. And so this is a very real thing. If you enjoy doing things like that, then allow yourself to do it. It always makes me think of Monica on Friends and how much she loved to organize things or to make lists or to do, you know, the little tasks that most of us would find really awful and irritating. And we'd think it was like a death sentence to us. And she just saw it as so much fun. There's a whole pile of us that kind of stuff appeals to. So have fun with it. Just try to do it from a creative side, which is more your feminine than your masculine. Being out in nature. You know, I am just now learning about the value of sunshine. It sounds silly, I know, because we've always known that the sun feels beautiful. When you are out in the sunshine, it actually activates the pleasure sensors of the brain, the same way that they would be activated during good sex or eating a really delicious meal or getting together with someone that you really love and haven't seen for a while. So this is really important. The sun is critical to us, And I'm learning so much about it that it does so much more than just give us vitamin D. And so my instructor right now, Ari Witten, is actually saying that in a few years, he believes that this advice to stay out of the sun, to slather on sunscreen, to cover yourself up and beware, is actually going to be considered the worst piece of advice we've ever been given in the area of health. Sunshine is critical to us. The red lights that are involved in a sunrise and a sunset, they feed us very specific, important things. We need to be looking at them without sunglasses, but be careful when you do it because you don't want to be looking at the brilliant sunshine. This is when it's just a red ball before it would hurt your eyes. And so sunshine is a wonderful way to fill yourself up, to feel really good. It gets the melanin going in your skin, and that feels good. The release of that hormone actually feels good to us. Walking outside, hugging a tree, they give off electrons. Walking barefoot in the grass, same thing. They give off electrons, and our body needs those electrons because they're being stolen from us all the time. And so we really want to take advantage of that if you enjoy doing it. I mean, if it hurts your feet to walk barefoot, don't do that. Try putting your hands on a tree instead. See how that goes. If you don't like that, find another category. Go for a walk. Sit by some water. Try horseback riding. There's so many different things that you can do. But understand, nature is a big part of pleasure. So see if you can find a way to use it to fill you up. Animals are also a wonderful way to fill yourself up. Petting a dog, grooming a horse, playing with a kitten, watching a fish in a fish tank. All of these things can help to fill you, to quiet you, to calm you. And finally, the exact opposite, exciting things can also fill you up. So riding a motorcycle, flying an airplane, going skydiving, driving a race car, if those things are fun to you, then use them to fill your pleasure tank. If they're not fun to you, if they just scare you or totally turn you off, then don't go there. Look for the things that fill you up. Remember what brings you pleasure and how much you need to reach the full mark, as well as the amount of time that you remain full, are going to be different for you and for everyone else. And it could even be altered for you on different days. Our souls love novelty. So what feels great one day might feel rather blasé on another. Don't force yourself to do the same thing day after day because you discovered a year ago that it brings you pleasure. So take some time and explore a little. Bring a variety of things into your life so that you can change it up. Have ideas that work regardless of where you are or how much time you have. So in other words, come up with things that you can use that are more time intensive and less time intensive, that require tools that don't require tools, that require privacy, that allow you to do them anywhere. A couple weeks ago in my podcast, I spoke about taking pleasure from little moments, and it's worth it to remind you of that here. Tuning in to those many miraculous little moments that arise on any given day, such as the feeling of sunshine on your face, having a deep, authentic conversation with a friend, laughing with your child or granddog, as is my situation. Not that I don't laugh with my kids, but they're older. It's not the same as a child's giggle. Sitting down with a fresh cup of your favorite beverage, enjoying a delicious smell, or even taking that first bite of intensely awesome food. These are all examples, but really, the list of miraculous moments could go on forever. The more you awaken all of your senses and allow yourself to fully be in the moment, the more completely you will enjoy the experience. Sometimes finding pleasure is just a matter of opening up to it. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please share it with others, rave about it on social media, and give it a positive review. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik, wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a moment for standing in your power. A while back, I saw a poster that had all these different kinds of fruit on it, and each piece of fruit was saying something about their body. "I'm too short," says the strawberry. "I'm so hairy," states the kiwi. "Why am I so big?" asks the watermelon. "I hate my skin color," exclaims the orange. "Why am I so wide?" questions the pear. Now, there's many other kinds of fruit on the poster, and they're all complaining about the very thing that makes them special. And as soon as I saw it, I right away started thinking of us and our bodies and how often we feel like we're just not good enough the way we are. It truly saddens me, especially for women, that we've been taught to dislike the package we come in. Even girls whose bodies haven't finished maturing will complain of being too big or needing to diet or not tall enough. Parents are forewarned about childhood obesity and they're told their kids are not active enough, that they're sitting too much, that they're playing too many games, and that we should all be very alarmed. There are plenty of problems with the processing of food and how we are nurturing our bodies, but the biggest problem of all, I believe, is the attitude that we have created towards the female body. Now, of course, this is not exclusive to women anymore, but I don't think that's cause to celebrate. Your body is your temple. It allows you to exist in human form. It is something to be valued and appreciated no matter how it looks. Now, this doesn't mean that you can't strive for better health or to do exercises that burn off fat or build up your muscles. It just means that no matter what your body looks like, it deserves to be loved. The caption on the poster I mentioned earlier said, "If only they knew they had such sweet bodies." I would like to extend this caption from the poster out to every person on the planet. You have a sweet body. Imagine what life could be like if we all really believe that.